Yeah, I will talk today about the OpenSUSE or OP or OBS package installer. Actually, even in the README, I think the name is called two different ways. And as I didn't originally start the project, I'm not sure which name to use. So yeah, you can select the one that you like. Anyway, OP is the tool. So OP can be used to install packages. Well, we already have Super, so actually OP calls Super in the background. You can use OP to install packages from the Open Build Service, from the Pacman repository, which has its own build service, and from various third-party vendors like Google Chrome, TeamViewer, you name it. So when you install a package from OBS, you simply would write OP and then the package name, and then it would query the OBS API. So essentially, it is a bit similar to the existing just one-click installer, if someone remembers it. You would go to software.opensuse.org and enter the package name. It would tell you, yeah, this repos provide this package. You click it, then you download some special XML file that Yast will associate with, and then Yast will install that package and add the required repo. OP can do a similar thing on the command line, but it can also do more. Yeah. So this is how OP actually works. So in theory, in an ideal world, we could talk directly to the OBS API, but the OBS API requires authentication even for reading data. So we did a little hack here. There's a proxy server that only allows certain requests, and that proxy server then adds the credentials that are needed by the OBS API. Later, OP will call then Super to add the repo and install the packages. It's maybe the easiest if I show you how that actually works. In this case, we are installing the RTL433 package, some SDR package for using DVB-T sticks for receiving arbitrary radio signals. And OP will then show you a list of the packages that the OBS and the Pacman build service API returned. And then you can select which repo you want to install it from. If you are now on Tumbleweed, you see here it lists OpenSUSE Factory and not OpenSUSE Tumbleweed. That's actually a problem. Maybe someone will have an idea for a solution for that, because currently, you could then be tempted to select, OpenSUSE Factory, that's similar enough. What it will do is actually add the OpenSUSE Factory repo, which is something you might want to do if you are brave enough, but it could lead to problems. What I personally might do is just let OP add it, install that certain package, and then let OP remove the repo right afterwards again. That way you're at least on the safer side and don't run into the possibility of breaking your system on an upgrade. The problem is you cannot, as far as I know, search the OBS API for Tumbleweed, but only for Factory. So that is a bit tricky here. As you can see, OP color codes the repo names. So devil repos are blue and home repos are red. And if you're installing from a home repo, you will get a warning that you should know that you're installing from a home repo and the sources could be whatever the home repo owner put in there. Now the fun part, OP can also install third-party vendors. I think this is a more or less up-to-date list. I think MS Teams is removed or in the recent Git version, because MS Teams was dropped on Linux. But these are the third-party packages that can be installed using OP. So essentially, OP has a plugin interface. I will later show you how to write a plugin. It is not very hard. And these plugins then evaluate to that list that OP generates when you just run the --- help. And if you want to install, for example, the Plex media server, you write just OP Plex, then it will not show this package list and everything, but the plugin will directly invoke and allow you to add the repo for the plex.tv site and then install the required package. One important stuff, I'm not sure, do I have a slide for that? No. One important thing is that works a bit different is the codex entry here. I will later show you the corresponding plugin, but what OP does here is, you know that problem. You install a fresh system and no videos on YouTube or whatever play because you don't got the codex, because we cannot distribute them because they are patented. And so there is this Pacman repo that is totally run by the community. And we are not responsible for what's in there, and so there can be codex. But the Pacman repo is not added by default. So what you can do is just run OP codex, and OP will make sure that you have a system where all the codex work. It will automatically add the Pacman repo, it will automatically install the right packages, it will automatically install the packages that you installed from your default repo to Pacman versions of the same packages. So this was more important in the past, I think, because back then there was no sub-package for the codex of GStreamer plugins bad and GStreamer plugins ugly. Nowadays we have the --codec sub-package of that RPMs, and only that sub-packages come from Pacman then. Also, we had a recent change, and I'm really I'm really looking forward to the multimedia madness talk today about the new OpenH264 repo. OP already supports that repo. Essentially, we did some, let's call it legal hack, to be able to have a repo with H264 codex in it that we can add by default, even though we cannot distribute directly the RPMs that are in that repo, which we also don't do. I think Cisco distributes them for us. And OP already covers that case as well now. So this is how a plugin looks like. It's actually pretty simple. You just put a file into the right directory, which defines what is the name of the plugin, some short description, and essentially, here it even explicitly asks the user what they want to install, adds the required repo, and installs the package. And at the end, it asks the user if they want to keep the repo. We're doing this explicitly here because it is very interesting what third-party vendors come up with. You need to keep in mind a third-party vendor might have a different workflow of installing their repo. What they often do is let the user download the RPM from their website, then the user installs that RPM, and then the post-install script of that RPM adds the required RPM keys and repos, which is why I usually have a certain name for the repos that is the same one as upstream would create, so that if they overwrite the repo, then it's just overwritten and not two times the same repo with the same URL but two different names. Sometimes you can also circumvent this. I will now show you a bit. Where I have the source code here. So you have the Git checkout. I will later show you the GitHub URL. And there is a directory OP plugins. And here, let's have a look at the MS Edge. If you want to install, for whatever reason, Microsoft Edge on OpenSUSE, this is the plugin for it. And what we do here, this block with prevent post install script from messing with our repos will essentially touch the right files so that the post install script from Microsoft will think that it already ran, so it won't do much. This way, yeah, we keep the repo file as OP created it and don't get it overwritten with the version of Microsoft. So now let's have a look at a more complicated example. Let's have a look at, I think the repo is for some reason called, the plugins for some reason called Pacman. So this is what the Pacman version does. This is obviously much more complicated. We have even some special function just for adding the Pacman repo here. And the dub equal true means that it will run a separate dub minus minus from Pacman, which will move. We have the dummy version in our repo that has the codec patched out so that we can link against it. And we have the non-dummy version in the packet repo, in the Pacman repo, that yeah we will dub to so that yeah the codec then actually works. It was actually not easy, and I hope that this is more or less error-free to come up with that file, because yeah, it is. You have to read like 1 year of communications on the issue about the OpenH264 repo to find out which packages should be installed from there, which from Pacman, so that you have a maximum number of working codecs on your system. But I think that actually works quite fine, and it's a nice thing that you can just tell a user, just run super in OP and then OP codecs, and you have a working codec installation on your system. Because that's usually something that users tend to struggle with, as far as I know. Here we are actually also doing some small, let's say, hacky part. Yeah. The GStreamer file here is called GStreamer minus 1.20 plugin OpenH264, but I didn't want to hard code the version number, because otherwise, yeah, it might break if the GStreamer version updates. So I'm doing here is just install it by specifying the shared object provide of the package, because that one doesn't have a version number. So let's maybe have a look at how this all works together in practice. I have a container here, and if I run OP, you see it will automatically tell you what it can do and how, and what plugins it currently has available. And now if I run OP, maybe for the RTL SDR package, at first gets a search done on the OP API, on the OBS and Pacman API. And usually, most times you find only packages from OBS, unless you're searching for some codecs or something. And it will sort these packages by some waiting algorithm that keeps in mind that usually shorter package names are the ones you want, and some other matrices. And here, for example, I could say, oh, I want it from the ham radio or from the hardware SDR repo. So let's use the ham radio. Oh, that's a new message. GPG warning using insecure memory. I guess that's maybe because I'm using a systemd nspawn container here, because I just had it lying around. Anyway, I'm not really sure if this is something I should recommend other people to do. I sometimes do it.
And another question. I want to add plugin, how do I contribute?
So this is the URL. So just in the OpenSUSE space on GitHub, OP, and just open a pull request. The code should be quite easy to understand, I hope. And we also have a test suite that does a full system test by running some installations in a Docker container.
Great, thanks.
So yeah, thank you. I wanted to talk about the user experience because some of us have helped some users that have host their system or had some issues because they didn't understand the consequences of adding repositories and switching vendors. Specifically, you demoed, I think this was on a tumbleweed system.
Yes, that's a tumbleweed
system.
And
essentially, we demoed a suggestion of adding the OpenSUSE factory repository, which is never a good pattern because you're already there, right? And it also doesn't show OpenSUSE factory is the project and it has multiple repositories. Snapshot, which is tumbleweed, standard, which is what is being built, and the others, which is images. So maybe you just want to be clear that it's project slash repository, or filter out this special case of adding the factory repo when you're already in tumbleweed, because that's almost never a pattern, because they will already have this available. There's never a case when you would want to install a package because this repository you already have. So you want to, I think, yeah, this is more for discussion.
Actually what I really would like to see is to have tumbleweed in the first line if you are on tumbleweed. I mean, factory is essentially tumbleweed 2 days before it is, if it will pass the tests in OpenQA, of course. And so I already thought about maybe I could query the local RPM database, the local package cache, to see that, but that would create a lot of more code. Another approach would be to just assume that a package that is in factory is also in tumbleweed. So maybe I could query the user and ask, so you selected factory. Is it really what you want to do? Look, you could also install dollar version of this package from the local package repository that is already added for tumbleweed. Do you really want to still do that? So maybe I could ask a second question. That would also be a possibility. I'm not yet sure, but yeah, I'm open to input for that.
I think you should ask them at least, and this is a thing where the default does matter for some reason. You have an order, and the first selection is dangerous. So I would seriously reconsider this, and consider the normal average user already in tumbleweed requesting a package. And yes, he's already got this in the repositories. We should definitely default to this. And then the second non-default should be the development repository, as in this case, because that kind of makes sense. So the rest of the ordering is fine, but the first one, I think I've seen some bad behavior.
Yeah, that's really something I would like to see a bit different in the future. Yeah, I guess there was some other question.
I have two. One, I really like that, like search through names. So my question would be, would it be possible to make for OPI to install something else than RPM, for example, Flatpaks?
For example, what? Flatpaks. I'm not sure. I'm not really a fan of installing Flatpaks if I don't really, really have to.
Okay.
But currently this. Essentially, all this, all what OP does in the last consequence tends to be a super call, or we create the repos files on our own, not using super, because then we have a bit more power of what's in there. For Flatpaks, we really would, it is so different that I'm not sure if that would be actually the right place. Also, because Flatpak names, I think, tend to be this URL-like names with de.something.firefox.
Yeah. Or Mozilla Firefox or something. And the other questions, could it be possible to have something in between? So you have either that you add OpenSUSE factory as your repo with obvious impact, or you remove it. Would it be possible to say, actually, I want to remove it, but if you keep in mind, and then I would run an OPA update, which would go through all those packages which it remembered and check for the newer versions?
Essentially, I'm just adding the repos, and later you could just update it with super. So if you keep the repo, if it's
well,
not...
Well, I don't want to keep OpenSUSE Factory, obviously.
Yeah, obviously, that one you wouldn't want to keep. But usually you wouldn't want to add it in the first place. And so if you have a look at my local repos, you will see I have quite some third-party repos added. And that if you be a bit careful, that usually doesn't break anything. But obviously that has to be, if you add some gigantic repo and then do super dub, that might lead to a problem. But it is always, with OP it is always a bit being on a narrow path between allowing the user to do certain things when the user is knowledgeable, and on the other side, not that easily letting the user break something.
Because you showed your zipper list, my question is kind of answered. If OP would change or add repositories with priorities, it seems like it doesn't.
How do I, so it doesn't set a priority within the repo, so I guess the default priority applies.
My general recommendation, which is not from me, but how I understood how to set up repositories properly, if you do add additional repositories, change priorities, and then change the system to allow a vendor change automatically on calling zipperdub, then you're safe. I mean, there are repositories where it doesn't really matter because, for example, Pacman Essentials is safe. It's just providing packages where it makes sense to update all from. This is why you have this sub-repo. I guess for OpenH264, that's the same. Probably for all the external vendor repos as well, because if it just adds MS Edge, then there's no other source where it would come from. But in talking about devil repos, home repos, and also likely factory repo, if one would add priorities so that this is never preferred for packages which come from elsewhere, and only if you're really sure that you just have it to pull in newer versions, then setting up the priorities accordingly, that should work.
With the priorities, it's an interesting approach. I didn't had that in mind before. I'm not sure if allowing vendor changes would be that good idea, because that could have unintended consequences, I guess.
Yeah, if you want to go really till the end, then OP could check the zipper config, check the priorities of all repositories, and then give suggestions, something like, okay, this is an unsafe situation, warning, when adding these repositories, it's unsafe, please see this wiki page to set up repository priorities accordingly. I wouldn't go into changing it automatically, because maybe the user has added repositories already before using OP, right?
Yeah. By the way, having repositories before using OP is a good point that I might say something about. OP will automatically detect if a repo is already there, even if the name is different than what OP would set as a name. So OP would usually set the name of the OBS project and the alias using underscore instead of double colons. But OP will do some fuzzy matching that works even though SSL is enabled or not for the URL to check if a repo is already there, so that we don't end up with duplicate repos even when the URL doesn't have SSL, and OP would add it with SSL if it would add it as a new repo.
I think that's a good idea, and you can extend from that concept to say you already checked the repository, so you could just check how priorities are set up and then give recommendations.
Good. Any more questions?
So then I have one more question.
Okay.
When will this break?
When will this break? What exactly?
Like, all of that could fall apart with the next version of Leap, or maybe it will just work for the next 10 years, maybe next
so,
week. What's your idea?
So we have a test suite for that, that actually does quite extensive tests. I can show you. We have, where is it? Here. We have here some test repo, some test folder that runs essentially 5 different tests. They look like this. Essentially, it's the Python version of Expect, because SOP is an interactive tool. It is a bit tricky to test, but this seems to work quite well. So this is the case where actually the Pacman API returns back an package, and you are explicitly installing a package from Pacman. It really does that, and then in the end, it checks if that package is really installed. And that worked quite well. And I do run this on GitHub, CI whenever there's a pull request or a new commit to the master branch. I run this for the current Leap and for OpenSUSE. So this gives me, I think, a good confidence. So I'm installing packages from Pacman from home using a plugin. Here, what do I install? Resilio, Sync, whatever that is, but it doesn't have many dependencies because, you're using a minimal Docker container to install something. Of course, it will tie in like 200 megabytes of dependencies within the GitHub CI. And so I try to use the one that doesn't tie in that much. This one actually checks that all the plugins work and are well formatted according to what OP expects, that that this main query is there, and that the description is there, that it's not empty, that the additional queries are also listing the main query, and that a plugin is not there twice. I think it even checks it checks that if some plugins have the same queries, so it will automatically raise a conflict there to ensure that the code quality of the plugins is persisting. Also, it will here check that Python setup.py install works, because the test suite works just on the Git checkout. And here, it just runs op --help and checks if some Microsoft thing turns up in the plugin list, which there usually should be. Does it answer your question? Okay. I'm not sure if how our timing is, because it's already 11:16. So there's no talk after us. So I guess if there is one more question, I can answer that.
Do you think we could replace the Yast one click with OP? Because the Yast one click currently relates to lots of broken repository setups because it's no longer maintained very well.
If there is no functionality in the Yast one-click installer that I don't know about, then yes. So I think it mostly does what the one-click installer does. You search for a package, it tells you which repos provide it, and you install it. So I think that should work. I think one thing that the Yast one-click installer does that OP does not, if I recall correctly, is that you could set deliberately a wrong repo, a wrong distribution. So you could, I think, install on a tumbleweed maybe packages from Leap using the one-click installer, if I recall correctly. I think OP will not allow you to do that, because OP will stick to the distribution and and only list an OBS project if it is built against that distribution.
Yeah, but that sounds reasonable.
Yeah, actually it does, so I'm not really, I wouldn't really say that it's something, some feature that we need to keep the Yast one-click installer for.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, I guess then we're done here. Thanks for your time.